Chapter 15. The Goblin's Revenge. Early next morning, before the other two were awake, Harry left the tent to search the woods around them for the oldest, most gnarled and resilient-looking tree he could find. There, in its shadow, he buried Mad-Eye Moody's eye and marked the spot by gouging a small cross in the bark with his wand. It was not much, but Harry felt that Mad-Eye would have much preferred this to being stuck on Dolores Umbridge's door. Then he returned to the tent to wait for the others to wake and discuss what they were going to do next. Harry and Hermione felt that it was best not to stay anywhere too long, and Ron agreed, with the sole proviso that their next move took them within reach of a bacon sandwich. Hermione therefore removed the enchantments she had placed around the clearing, while Harry and Ron obliterated all the marks and impressions on the ground that might show they had camped there. Then they disapparated to the outskirts of a small market town. Once they had pitched the tent in the shelter of a small copse of trees and surrounded it with freshly cast defensive enchantments, Harry ventured out under the invisibility cloak to find sustenance. This, however, did not go as planned. He had barely entered the town when an unnatural chill, a descending mist, and a sudden darkening of the skies made him freeze where he stood.
"But you can make a brilliant Patronus," protested Ron when Harry arrived back at the tent, empty-handed, out of breath and mouthing the single word, "Dementors." "I couldn't make one," he panted, clutching the stitch in his side. "Wouldn't come."
Their expressions of consternation and disappointment made Harry feel ashamed. It had been a nightmarish experience, seeing the Dementors gliding out of the mist in the distance and realizing, as the paralyzing cold choked his lungs and a distant screaming filled his ears, that he was not going to be able to protect himself. It had taken all Harry's willpower to uproot himself from the spot and run, leaving the eyeless Dementors to glide amongst the Muggles, who might not be able to see them, but would assuredly feel the despair they cast wherever they went.
"So we still haven't got any food?"
"Shut up, Ron," snapped Hermione. "Harry, what happened? Why do you think you couldn't make your Patronus? You managed perfectly yesterday."
"I don't know."
He sat low in one of Perkins's old armchairs, feeling more humiliated by the moment. He was afraid that something had gone wrong inside him. Yesterday seemed a long time ago. Today, he might have been 13 years old again, the only one who collapsed on the Hogwarts Express. Ron kicked a chair leg.
"What?"
he snarled at Hermione.
"I'm starving. All I've had since I bled half to death is a couple of toadstools."
"You go and fight your way through the Dementors then," said Harry, stung.
"I would, but my arm's in a sling in case you hadn't noticed."
"That's convenient."
"And what's that supposed to—"
"Of course,"
cried Hermione, clapping a hand to her forehead and startling both of them into silence.
"Harry, give me the locket. Come on," she said impatiently, clicking her fingers at him when he did not react. "The Horcrux, Harry, you're still wearing it."
She held out her hands, and Harry lifted the golden chain over his head. The moment it parted contact with Harry's skin, he felt free and oddly light. He had not even realized that he was clammy or that there was a heavy weight pressing on his stomach until both sensations lifted.
"Better?"
asked Hermione.
"Yeah, loads better."
"Harry," she said, crouching down in front of him and using the kind of voice he associated with visiting the very sick, "you don't think you've been possessed, do you?"
"What? No," he said defensively. "I remember everything we've done while I've been wearing it. I wouldn't know what I'd done if I'd been possessed, would I? Ginny told me there were times when she couldn't remember anything."
"Hmm," said Hermione, looking down at the heavy gold locket.
"Well, maybe we ought not to wear it. We can just keep it in the tent."
"We are not leaving that Horcrux lying around," Harry stated firmly. "If we lose it, if it gets stolen—"
"Oh, all right," said Hermione,
and she placed it around her own neck and tucked it out of sight down the front of her shirt.
"But we'll take turns wearing it so nobody keeps it on too long."
"Great," said Ron irritably. "And now we've sorted that out, can we please get some food?"
"Fine, but we'll go somewhere else to find it," said Hermione with half a glance at Harry. "There's no point staying where we know Dementors are swooping around."